It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Can you fly this plane and land it?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Captain, how soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me I'm a doctor.
No, I mean, I'm just not sure.
Or can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 drive car of the year. Find out more at kia.com.au. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, welcome to the show, everyone. Scotty Sattler in the seat on a Thursday night. It's only a short show tonight. Of course, we have South vs Penrith for SEN League, and that cool team will be a little bit later on. Joel Kane, Brett Camorley, and Mark Spud Carroll will be joining you for the pre-game and also all the action in round 9 of the NRL. And welcome to our regular listeners through the Super Radio Network family, wherever you're listening. Welcome. And SEN 1170, 693 in Brizzy. If you're listening to us on track, Fanatic, the SEN app, welcome to the show, and of course our partners, our very proud partners in Kia EV9, the 2024 drive car of the year. It's actually the world drive car of the year. How good is that? And Nutrien Ag Solutions going further for Aussie farmers. Get involved in the show, everyone. 0457 736 736. And if you're in New Zealand, 8833, or give us a call over the next hour, 1300 01 1170. Now, on this show, as you know, listeners, we've had some of the smartest people, some of the smartest minds in Australian journalism, sport. We've had tremendous journalist and author and multiple Walkley winner and Hedley Thomas. We've had Andrew Abdo. We've had the smartest rugby league player in the history of the game, and that is Nathan Gibbs and Kevin Ryan. Christian Welsh is probably the smartest current day player. So we've got none of them on the show here today. So basically what we've done, we've just gone and found any guy that's available. His name's Jimmy Smith. He's the kid from Cootamundra, but he's more Bondi now, and he's joining us on Sports Day. How are you, Jim?
Not bad. I don't mind that. I'll tell you what, it's a good setup. The Cootamundra kid, hey? Well, I'm going to call you the Gladstone Gladbag, the Bribie Island Bandit, or the Gold Coast Godzilla. Like, seriously, what about you? How are you, Scott?
I'm really well. I've had better days, Jim. Our family and our listeners know how much I love my dog, Frank Staffy, who's 6 years of age, and we lost him on Tuesday night, unfortunately, which was very sudden. So I've been better, but I thought, no, I've got to come into work today. I've got to take my mind off it, to be quite honest. So I've had better days, but you know what? Rugby league's playing tonight, so got something to look forward to, round 9, of course. Now, Jim, I'm going to talk to you a little bit later on about, because you're our cricket man. You're our, well, Jace Matthews on our show, he claims he's the sixth best cricket commentator and journalist in Australia. We refute
sixth.
That.
Are you serious?
Sixth, yeah, he thinks he's the sixth behind Crash Craddock and those sort of like. But I think you are far ahead of him when it comes to your cricket journalism. So we're going to ask you a little bit later on about Steve Smith missing out on the T20 World Cup squad. The new captain of the T20 World Cup squad as well. And our hot topic tonight, thanks to Apple iSports, will be around CEO South Sydney, Blake Solly, and how he's handled the last 48 hours, because he has come under a lot of scrutiny from all the different media angles as well. And as I said earlier on, we'll have our warm-up segment, thanks to Reem, Jim, won't we, about tonight's game, South and Penrith. It's an interesting game tonight, isn't it? Everyone sort of expects South to – well, there's no more excuses, is there? It's all over to you, South.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation, isn't it? And obviously two clubs that have a place in your heart too, the South Sydney Rabbitohs and the Penrith Panthers. So there's interest for you from that point of view. As a former Rabbitoh who was at the Rabbitohs when we sacked a coach, right? Steve Martin was there until late into 1998. He was dismissed by the board. I think we'd won two games up to that point. And in came Craig Coleman after that point. And you know, Tugger for us was a breath of fresh air, just released everything, you know. I don't know whether Steve Martin ever had the dressing room, let alone lost them, but Tugger came in, he I was speaking to Matty Parsons last week.
Oh, I heard that. I heard that interview was outstanding. Yeah,
he's such a big tough front rower, but very thoughtful about his footy. And he just openly acknowledged how good Craig Coleman was for him and just filling him with confidence. Hey, Paso, you can do this. You can do this. And Tugger was exactly the same with every player, certainly with me. So very interesting to see what Hornby is going to be like. You know, this is an opportunity where Ben won't be retaining this position beyond this year. I would be very surprised if that happened. But what could be the case is that just like we've seen over the years where someone like a Josh Hannay comes in and does a job. Christian Wolf has done it at different stages during the course of his coaching career. Come in and show everyone else who's thinking about hiring someone in 5 years' time, Sats, that they go, oh, remember that half a year that Ben Hornby had with the Rabbitohs? He actually did a really good job. I was impressed by what he did. So, for example, the one that springs to mind most immediately is Ryan Carr did a really good job at the Dragons when Anthony Griffin was dismissed last year. So now on that coaching merry-go-round that is happening, the name Ryan Carr actually has a bit more credit associated with it, and that's the opportunity that Ben Hornby has starting tonight.
Yeah, you're right. There's been three coaches, Jim, hasn't there? Can you remember them, the three coaches that have taken their teams through to finals? Interim coaches.
Well, Jason Taylor did it in 2006 with the Parramatta Eels. I thought there was only one. I thought he was the only one to do it. There's another couple, is there?
Cameron Ciraldo at Penrith, from memory, was an interim coach.
Ah, right. So Anthony Griffin was sacked when the team was running fourth, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's another one, listeners, 0457-736-736. There's one more coach as an interim that has taken his team through the finals and hasn't retained the job.
And hasn't retained the job.
Mm.
Well, the reason that Jason Taylor didn't stay at Parramatta was he was signed by the Rabbitohs beforehand. So he was actually going to the Rabbitohs and then got this opportunity at Parramatta and then took them to the finals. And Parramatta were like, oh, we let this guy go too early because we didn't feel that he had a path to NRL here. So, all right, you got me. Are we talking the NRL era?
NRL era.
John Morris?
No, not John Morris.
Right. Was it the great Phil Economides? I know it was pre-NRL, but 1997?
He was the coach in 97. I played there those couple of years. We made the finals in 97. He got coach of the year, Phil Economides. Now, funny story, he's a great guy, Phil Economides. They called him Bernie because when he had his glasses on, he looked like the guy from Weekend at Bernie's. And funny thing, like in that off-season of 97 going into 98, I think he went and spent some time with Wayne Bennett because the game had come back together, Super League and ARL.
Yes.
And he went and spent some time with Wayne. He got Coach of the Year in 97 in the ARL competition. And he came back to training for the 98 preseason. He was driving a Mercedes. He'd bleached his hair blonde and had his teeth whitened.
Oh, dear. That's a sign, isn't it? That's what they, if you were playing poker against Phil Economides, that's what I'd describe as a tell.
Yep.
That's got him immediately. Josh Hannay, there's one coming in. Is it Josh Hannay?
Josh Hannay. Correct.
Is he the third one?
I think he is.
Okay, 133. Whoever 133 is, well done. Oh, and 088 got it too.
Yep.
So, that's going to be of interest. So how's it been for you, mate, aside from the passing of the dog?
Frankie,
how's it
been?
So Daddy Vass,
yep.
I have a great, like, there's a part of me that says, I'll play this, and the reason I do it is because you just got to be careful about getting ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
The other part is I play it because I think these Queenslanders have just worked themselves into a muck lather about something that may or may not happen. Over to you, Daddy Vass.
Billy Slater has announced that he's open to selecting both Kalyn Ponga and Reece Walsh for the Maroons this season.
I think Reece Walsh attacks to the right side way better than the left, and Kalyn Ponga is the opposite. Could you imagine having Kalyn Ponga wearing the 13 jersey and just having them both sitting out the back?
What?
On both sides.
I never thought of the 13. I always thought he'd handle centre really well if someone went down the centres, or, you know, one will be Valentine Holmes, who primarily plays on the left side. I always thought that he'd probably be a centre or a 14, but I haven't thought about a 13. Now, you know what? In his debut, he went on as a lock.
Could you imagine just having those two guys on both sides of the field? You've got Munster on one side, you've got Cherry Evans on the other, and they've just got their shape set up, and like, because you're always short a man.
You're an ideas man.
Because you got the fullback out the back. You got the fullback defending at the back.
Yep.
Mate, it's, when I read that, I was just like, oh, New South Wales are in so much trouble.
Is this on the back of Tom Flegler now not being available for Queensland, Jim? Is this what you're getting at?
If you can play in the middle, you're a chance of getting to if you could be a middle four. My visual of you and the rat doing that, talking about it.
It's giving you a headache.
Both of you were partially clothed. There was towels everywhere and there was massage oil. Like, it was just like, come on, boys, settle down. Settle down. And then I reckon Sats at the 65-minute mark of the Broncos versus West Tigers game,
yep,
the week after Kalyn Ponga had been ruled out for Beyond the State of Origin series and Reece Walsh went down with what looked like a calf injury on there, I reckon Billy Slater was there going, get him off the field and get him off the field now.
Hey, what about Kevin Walters when Paddy Welsh and Ian Healy on Pat and Heels for SENQ each brekkie, Brekkie Morning, asked him, well, what's the go with the cramps? He said, oh, yeah, well, of course, Adam Reynolds, he hasn't played a lot of game time. And Reece Walsh, well, he just wasn't eating the right things leading into the game. Brutally honest, Kevy. That's what love about him.
Yeah, that's right. You just said it's his diet, isn't it? It's like, aren't you a professional organisation?
Exactly,
Can you give a little bit of help with that? Who had the worst diet when you played? Was there anyone who had the worst diet?
That's a good question. Good question. Craig Greenhill.
Knuckles.
Yeah. Great guy, Knuckles. He'll be listening as well. He listens in Wynnum, just east of the Brisbane CBD. Yeah, he used to eat what he wanted, but then he never put on any weight. And he wasn't always at the front at training, but he'd punch you at 80 minutes each week in the front row.
What a tough player.
Oh, he was a phenomenal player. Played for Queensland. Just a tough man. Yeah, his nickname was Knuckles because he was good on the knuckle. I remember we played the Cowboys one night. He'd hate me bringing this up, but this doesn't take anything away from how tough he was because he never backed down from a fight. And anyway, we were playing the Cowboys one Saturday afternoon and his best mate was the late Paul Green. And so Greeny was playing for the Cowboys. Anyway, Greeny stepped off his foot and Knuckles sort of got him a little bit high, and John Buttigieg ran in as if to say, I'm going to stick up for my halfback, and sort of pushed him, sort of just pushed him, not enough to sort of make anyone really react, but Knuckles did. Knuckles just went crack and put one on his chin, and John Buttigieg went boom, 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 three on the chin and sort of dropped him to the knees, and he got back up and everyone sort of jumped in. So the week after mucking around, I think it was Ryan Girdler or Craig Gower or something started not calling him Knuckles, called him Buckles. But it only happened. It only happened once or twice because he didn't do it too often with Knuckles. And I'll tell you one of his favourite tricks, Knuckles, is you'd get into an elevator when you go away to travel, and you would have played this game, Jimmy, how mature we are as rugby league players. You got all these rugby league players. They've all got their room keys. They all get in the lift to go up to their floor. And as soon as you get in and the door closes, someone presses the alarm bell, which is the start of a boxing match, and Knuckles would just turn around and just start flogging everyone, Matty Rodwell, our halfback, nearly missed a game with a corked shoulder one day.
Oh, that is good. I remember, I'm going to take people way back, so 1992, the great Bruce Sinclair, might have been 93 actually, the great Bruce Sinclair is in the front row for the Roosters and came up against the St. George Dragons as they were at the time, and hey, diddle, diddle, fiddle up the middle, right? They used to have the big sign that they'd take to the hill at Cogra, and Tony Priddle was his up-and-coming front row.
Oh, I remember Jim.
He was going to play for Australia, wasn't he? Tony Priddle was going to play for Australia, and he played the ball this night, and he pushed Bruce Sinclair at marker. Bruce is generally the nicest, most placid bloke. Somehow he's snapped. He's just gone bang and hit Tony Priddle with the most flush right hand you've
ever
seen.
Right on the button, didn't he?
And just knocked him out.
Yeah.
And Tony Priddle was half the footballer after that point. The next week, remember Paul Doolan played on the wing for the Bulldog? Like, prior to that, Tony Priddle was like big, tough front rower. After that, Paul Doolan wanted to fight Tony Priddle. Like everyone was lining up to fight him because Bruce Sinclair basically ruined his career.
I know. I can remember that vividly. I reckon that was in 1994, Jim.
94.
Yeah, first game of the season, I reckon it was, at the Sydney Football Stadium.
Rico got sent off.
Yeah, hit him straight on the end of the button. It was a great punch. Before we get to the break, sports update, thanks to Keno Go. Keno Go's $40 million jackpot. Download the app right now if you want to get involved. Now, this Paris South, it's been reported this afternoon. Who's going to get the master coach in Wayne Bennett? It's being reported that Wayne Bennett has inquired about the future of Brad Arthur, as the guys on the run home and Super Radio Network have touched on as well, Jim. This is exactly the way that Wayne likes to play it. He likes to play every card, and he likes to always create these lay these landmines and create these decoys.
Wayne on Wayne.
He's a master of it, absolute master of it, and he's doing it here as well.
So I understand the interest from the South Sydney Rabbitohs. I totally understand, or would understand, if there was interest from the Parramatta Eels, and my understanding is there is interest from the Parramatta Eels. I'm going to ask you, Sats,
yep,
and I was talking about this today. How do you feel if you're Terry Reader and everyone involved with the Dolphins? This is a side that, if they play well for remainder of the year, can make themselves a semi-finalist, which would be extraordinary in their second year of existence, right? That's really exciting for this new franchise in the National Rugby League. And if Terry Reader says, hey, Wayne, what have you been up to? Oh, just on the phone to Blake Solly, and I've got another call coming up with Jim Sarandinos from the Eels. Like, I'm thinking you're either in or you're out. I know he's done it in the past, but I'd be very frustrated with that if I was the
Dolphins. It's a really good point, and I haven't looked at it from that angle, Jim, to be quite honest, because you know, the belief was that two years to set up the Dolphins and then move on or go into some other capacity, which when you're a coach, when you're a long-term coach, you don't want to do anything else other than coach when you think you can still do it and you've got the passion for it. Yeah, but if he's still right to coach, why wouldn't it be at the Dolphins? Exactly right.
So that's the other thing. So can't you say to Christian Wolf and say, look, Christian, who I think is about 48, 49 years of age, if you said, hey, Christian, I know we said you'd be the head coach next year and we've got you on a two-year deal. We've got the extraordinary circumstance where we're going really well and we've got arguably the greatest coach that's ever coached this game in its history in our building. And right now we're letting him walk out to not only walk out of our building, but walk into another building that we're going to play against. So Christian, what we're going to do is we're going to delay your contract for 2 years, but we're going to give you an extra year on the back of that. You'll only be 51 years of age when that comes into play. So please be patient with us on that. Could you not sell that? Because why on earth would you let Wayne Bennett walk out of the building when you know what happens when Wayne Bennett walks out of the building?
Totally agree. And again, it's a really good angle at a look at it, Jim. I think maybe looking at it from the Dolphins' point of view is let's allow his successor to get into the seat early rather than later when Wayne has got too many fingerprints over the place. If Wayne's going to come to any club, if he's going to go to Parramatta or South again, you know, he's going into a potential job at South to replace the guy that he endorsed.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you're an assistant coach and you've got ambitions to be a head coach, you'd be looking to move on also, wouldn't you? Because, I mean, history tells us that his brilliance, unfortunately, doesn't leave a great legacy for anyone who's going to follow him. So it's a really good angle to look at. And I haven't looked at it from that way. And I've no doubt that Terry Reader has probably had that conversation with Wayne Bennett along the way. Listen, if you still want to coach, like, can we not convince you? And it'd be interesting to see what Wayne's response was.
Okay. On the text line, Cam said, Jimmy, not going to happen. Christian turned down the head coach roles to take this opportunity. He will walk, guaranteed. So that's the other thing. You lose your succession plan. That's the threat. But that would only happen if Christian walked into another job. And we know there's at least one available. So that could be an option. I'll ask you this question, though, Sats. If he does walk out of the Dolphins building, Wayne Bennett, who's better placed for immediate success out of the South Sydney Rabbitohs and the Parramatta Eels?
Parramatta. I think they need him more, to be honest. I think Parramatta fans, we got plenty of them. So shout out to you, Steve from Dubbo, Parramatta. All of the Parramatta fans that get in contact with us each and every night. I mean, 1986. Yeah, the drought that's been at that club when it comes to premierships means that I think they need him probably more. Maybe he's that final piece. I mean, I think Brad Arthur's still got a really important role in the game as a head coach at another club. I think his time has just run out at Parramatta, unfortunately. It happens to the best of coaches in some stage in their career. So, I wouldn't think it'd be a silly move that Brad Arthur went to South.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. You know, but he does do this well. He plays every card. He creates decoys. I remember I dealt with Wayne, and I've known Wayne for a long time. I've got so much respect for him, and he's such a brilliant guy off the field as well, just with his life lessons. And I love the guy. I think his brilliance, unfortunately, could be his downfall sometimes with some clubs. Like if he goes to South, Jim, I've said this ad nauseum over the last few weeks, I think we're still talking about the same situation in 2 or 3 years' time when his successor moves on. So I think they can alleviate that. But I dealt with him at the expansion level. He met with all three clubs. And I remember I said to Wayne, if we get the license, the Brisbane Jets, which is the Western Corridor, he's a West Brisbane boy. He's from Warwick, which is up past Toowoomba and all those areas up there. He loves the West. And I said, would you be able to come out and support the bid? And categorically said, there's no way I'm going to do that, Scott, because if I do that, I'm going to ruin my chances with the other two bids as well. So, you know, he has this great ability to be able to just hold people at bay until he's ready to throw the ace card down for the blackjack.
And the thing about it is with those three franchises, they're all stronger for having Wayne Bennett attached to their bid.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds ridiculous because the other ones had the same strength, but that's the way it played out. A mate of mine was coaching with him at the South Sydney Rabbitohs a couple of years ago, right? And they had to do a certain amount of training. Like the physical staff, the high-performance staff said, okay, we only want the players to run, let's say it's 2.5 kilometres. Mm. You know, we only want them to run that. Wayne didn't know how to turn on a computer, let alone, you know, monitor all of that sort of stuff, right? So this is why he's a coach and not going to be a general manager of football or whatever you want to call it. So he was not tracking that. And they're talking with the assistant coaches going, oh, God, we only want him. He said at one point, all right, boys, I reckon we've had enough. That's it. Go and have a shower. They were all within about 100 metres of where the high-performance staff wanted them to run. Like it was just an innate knowledge that he had that's come about through nearly 50 years of coaching at the elite level. He just knew what was enough.
Yeah.
It was extraordinary.
Now, before we get to the break, I just on that quickly, I know Wayne, he's got a great book called Don't Die With The Music In You. It's an outstanding book. He wrote it years ago. It's just like a little sort of pocket book. It's a great book. If you like reading, not more about sports, about life as well. But in saying that, yeah, he openly admits that he never gives players the control over anything that's going to affect the scoreline of the game. He'll give them control over everything else. Do you want to do captain's run at home, or do you want to do it where we're travelling to? What do you want to wear on the plane? Do you want to go on a bus? Do you want to go there yourselves and park? All those little things that surround the team, but not so much about what's going to affect the scoreboard at the end of the day, which, you know, you've got to have a really good presence about you to be able to, yeah, to be able to execute that as well. Keno Go is the world's largest Keno jackpot for your chance to win $40 million today. Download the Keno Go app and start playing. Scotty Sattler, Jimmy Smith in the seat for a Thursday night. Back after the break.
Nutrien Ag Solutions. Going further for Australian farmers. Find your local branch at nutrien.com.au. The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9. The 2024 drive car of the year. Find out more at kia.com.au. This is Sports Day. We'll be back in a moment. The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9. The 2024 drive car of the year. Find out more at kia.com.au. This is Sports Day.
Sam identified some home truths and he had some pretty clear observations. And I know you've said you've had the conversation with him and it stays with you. And I actually had a conversation with him too because I'm close mates with him. And he kind of predicted what was about to happen. Do you think that you've should have done more about that? You should have listened to a club legend?
Well, first of all, I'm surprised, Braith, because Sam's always assured me that he never spoke to anyone in the media. But
I'm a good friend of his and I have been for a very long time. So it was just more a conversation between mates and a concern for a club that he loves, that he's won a grand final for and really wanted to spend the rest of his career there. It's not journalism here. It's just a conversation between mates and talking about what was actually happening in that club.
Yeah, that's fine, Braith, but I think you're a commentator and you're hosting a show, so I accept that you're a journalist. But
That was Braith and Asta on 360 last night. Blake Solly, the CEO of the South Sydney Rabbitohs, has he's been front and centre with obviously the media day, the day after the sacking of Jason Demetra at their headquarters, and also being on 360 last night. That was his response to Braith and Asta and the conversation that Braith claims he had with Sam Berger. So on the back of that, and this is brought to you by Apple iSports, our hot topic for tonight, Apple iSports. For the fans, Jimmy Smith joining me here tonight. Blake Solly, perceptions, how he's come across in the media since Tuesday night's decision. I've got to say, personally myself, Jim, I think he showed a lot of poise. He was professional. I think he's been respectful. I think he's been brutally honest about things. I think he defended the decision really well, to be honest. I thought he was respectful across the board to everyone that's been involved.
So I'll declare an interest here. Blake Solly is a former St. Gregory's College Campbelltown boy, youngster there. Went across and obviously had a lot of success in the Super League there, running the Super League for a time, and has come back. And I think he's one of the highly effective CEOs and executives in the National Rugby League. So I think he put himself up for all of that stuff because he knew he was an effective communicator in the media. I love the way he didn't shy away from what Braith and Asta was saying to him last night. Like he didn't, you know, he felt he was on a point and he made it quite strongly. Mm. And he did show at the same time care for Jason Demetrio, even though you get the sense that so I sat next to the director's box of the South Sydney Rabbitohs, just happened to be there for the Roosters Rabbitohs game, and they got absolutely poleaxed. And I thought that night, looking at them, I thought, no, Jason Demetrio's he's gone. They're just not going to put up with this. And it was delayed by 3 or 4 weeks, but it was always going to happen. Blake came out and said all the right things. We're supporting Jason. We're helping him as much as we can as a club. But you just got the sense that it wasn't going to work, and it didn't. So I've got absolutely no problem with it, with Jason Demetrio being moved on. It's not easy. Like, it's a very difficult decision because you're dealing about a human who you probably have a lot of respect for and a lot of care for, and you're really ripping their heart out, right? You're taking away this thing that they've coveted for so long. I also don't mind the fact that Braith and Asta wants to get involved in that, right? That's his job.
Absolutely. Like
he needs to dig a little bit. I want to hang on, you keep saying this. Well, I know this. It will be interesting to see if he's betrayed the trust of Sam Burgess, who maybe told him in confidence that information. We don't know that. Now we're just speculating. But as far as overall television, like if we're looking at it from a television point of view, I thought it was fantastic last night.
Yeah, I concur with everything you say there. He is very eloquent in everything that he said as well. Now, last night also, he didn't shy away from the big questions. We know that. Now, when it was released that he was sacked, I mean, many are saying Buzz Rothfield released it on NRL 360. We had Danny Wilder on live, and he actually revealed to us while talking to him that that he'd been sacked live on air. And I thought it was interesting now that there's some suggestions that text messages may have been coming from the boardroom before when the decision was officially made. Before the decision was officially made, there was the text message from Jason Demetrio to the playing group that has been leaked to the media. Well, that just happens in rugby league. Players, don't they, Jim? They show their manager. The manager, some of those managers have links to the media and connections with the media. That's been happening since media was introduced into the game.
I had someone contact me, a person who I know from my time at the South Sydney Rabbitohs. They were speaking to a high-ranking official at the South Sydney Rabbitohs in between the board meetings. So afternoon, but in between the two board meetings.
Yep.
And they let slip accidentally that, yeah, Jason's been sacked, and then realised immediately what they had said. And I was privy to that information about an hour before. And I'm sure I wasn't the only one that was privy to that. So I would say there were any number of people who knew. They just had to wait for Nick Pappas to wake up over there in London to ratify, to rubber stamp, whatever phrase you want to settle on, the situation or the decision to remove Jason Demetrio from his position. I'm going to ask you a question here, Sats.
Okay.
Do we see Jason Demetrio coach again in the National Rugby League?
Not at a head coaching role for probably a minimum of 6 to 7 years. I think he serves a great purpose to someone as an assistant coach, which he has been very good at across a number of clubs. So I think he definitely has a place in the National Rugby League. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to the UK Super League, where he actually had a long playing career as well and is highly regarded in the UK Super League. So I think he definitely has a place in the NRL as an assistant coach for the next, anywhere from the next 5 to 7 years minimum.
Okay, so here's the other thing. Remember when Anthony Seibold was released from his role at the Brisbane Broncos? You know, at that point you thought there is no way on the planet Anthony Seibold can get a job back in the National Rugby League as a head coach. And yet here we are, less than 4 years later, and certainly 3 years by the time he took the job there at the Manly Seagulls, that he was back. I don't think it'd be that long, but are the circumstances the same? Like, did Anthony Seibold lose his job at the Broncos for the same reasons that Jason Demetriou lost his job at South Sydney? I think that's where the difference lies.
Yeah, yeah. Good point. Good point. What are your thoughts? 0457 736 736. Got some text messages coming through. We're going to try to get to those in the next two segments. But as we go to the break, Liam says, "G'day, lads. How are you getting it? South pride of the league. They've won one premiership in 51 years. And Parramatta, their phone number is 1986. 1-0. 1-0. Avalai Sports, your one-stop shop for all things sports. Sats and Jimmy on a Thursday night. See you after the break.
Nutrien Ag Solutions. Going further for Australian farmers. Find your local branch at nutrien.com.au. The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9. The 2024 drive car of the year. Find out more at kia.com.au. This is Sports Day. We'll be back in a moment. The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9. The 2024 drive car of the year. Find out more at kia.com.au. This is Sports Day.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. Sports Day for a Thursday night. Short show tonight. Of course, we've got the SEN League with Sugar and Noddy and Spud Carroll joining you very, very soon to broadcast the game. Round 9 of the NRL. South Sydney Rabbitohs hosting the Penrith Panthers. And we're going to have the warm-up segment, thanks to Reem, very soon. Jimmy, are you broadcasting from the Brasco, Western Sydney Eagle? He's actually sitting in his fish tank, so Western Sydney Eagle. And also, Fitzy said, "Holy dooly, James on triple time tonight. He's the Craig Wing of SEN. He can play anywhere. He's not as good-looking as Craig Wing. I can say that."
No one is.
Listen to me.
No one is.
We interviewed him last week, and I quite honestly could turn for him. About the man.
I've heard that a lot about you. I heard, you know, we interviewed Matty Parsons the other day and I heard you were very keen on him too. But anyway.
Hey, would Mark Nichols be the modern day Matty Parsons?
Yeah. Yeah.
Off-field character, down to earth.
Scores a lot more tries than...
True.
Scores a lot more tries than Matty Parsons. Matty Parsons only got 3.
One of my great mates, Clinton O'Brien, who you know very well from the Roosters, he won a comp with him in 2001. Your man, Matty Parsons, he said he's the most coordinated big man I've ever seen. 125 kilos, 6'4", 6'5". Yeah.
Basketball background.
Yes.
Too,
so. Yeah.
Clinton O'Brien was the person that sprung to mind when you were talking about worst diets. He'll hate that.
Love the pie.
How are you, Clinton?
Yeah, he'd be listening too. Hey, before we get to some of your text messages, I spoke earlier about cricket, the upcoming T20 World Cup. Jim, which is in, is it in the, where is it? Is it in the
United States?
United States, and the in the Caribbean, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, Steve Smith misses the T20 squad. Mitch Marsh, the much maligned Mitch Marsh for so many years, has now become everyone's sort of second favourite player. Firstly, Steve Smith misses the squad. Right decision. Mitch Marsh, right decision.
Not a blip on the radar when Steve Smith misses. He just hasn't been able to recreate what he did 18 months ago with the Sydney Sixers, or might have been 15 months ago when he did that. So absolutely no problem with him missing out on that one. The Bison, "I'm a little bit fat and I'm a little bit unfit," the famous words when he accepted his Alan Border medal, is everyone, like, how much do we love the Bison? And he just keeps getting it done at T20 level. So, and he is a guy for a very long time everyone loved having around the team.
Yep.
So the fact that he's now made it into a very good captain, I think, surprises no one within that. The biggest shock for me is how do they not fit Jake Fraser-McGurk into that squad?
Like, he's been killing it in the IPL, hasn't he?
Blitzing, like, not just killing it, like putting on innings that are just extraordinary over there in a high level of cricket. So he's so maybe Davey Warner's a little lucky to be there because Travis Head's been doing some good stuff over there in the IPL. But I think there's a couple of bowlers too. Josh Hazlewood not playing in the IPL and Mitchell Starc playing in the IPL and getting Pongo Wongo'd at about 11.5 runs and over. They're the guys who you start looking at now and go, ooh, okay, hope you play well in this one, boy.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get to some text before we get to the break. Brad says, Blake gave Braith a lesson last night. Solly's been professional, yes, 133 says, but he hasn't admitted that they stuffed up by not listening to what Sam had to say. Well, the head coach is always going to win that battle between Sam. As much as I love Sam and Jason Demetriou, both of them equally, the head coach is always going to win that battle and probably should, to be quite honest, but they needed to take into account some of the things that Sam had to say moving forward.
Just on that too, you're never going to get it all right.
Yeah.
Right. And you're certainly not going to revisit situations and say, yes, we got it wrong. Like, you know, like it's an administration. When you're in that administration with you in a business, you just move past those, say, okay, well, those were the things that they said and let's move forward because you can't do anything about them.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any lack of merit with what Sam Burgess had to say. Like he was on the money in many regards, but it just wasn't, the timing wasn't right for someone like Sam to come in there and take over.
Exactly. Before we get to the break, thanks for your texts. We've got Briggsy here from Salford who listens each and every night. That's your old club. You're the king of Salford.
Briggsy, are you serious?
Carl Briggs.
Oh, how cool's that?
So he's listening in Salford at the moment on the app. And he has said, Hull FC are looking for a coach. Big fan base, money to spend, owner is hard work, but they got to rebuild. It's a blank canvas if JD is looking for a job straight away.
Here's the other thing, Scotty.
Yep.
How much learnings will Jason Demetriou take out of this situation?
Exactly.
He will be a better coach.
I agree.
For this experience.
I agree.
As painful as it is now.
Yep. Let's get to the break here on Sports Day. Scotty Sattler, Jimmy Smith for a Thursday night. We'll have the warm-up segment thanks to Ream after the break.
Nutrien Ag Solutions. Going further for Australian farmers. Find your local branch at nutrien.com.au. The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9. The 2024 drive car of the year. Find out more at kia.com.au. This is Sports Day. We'll be back in a moment. The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9. The 2024 drive car of the year. Find out more at kia.com.au. This is Sports Day.
We've got Jimmy Smith used to dance to back in the day in and around the eastern suburbs when he first came down from Cootamudra.
Yeah. Archie's.
Archie's, that's what it was.
Yeah, dollar drinks night on a Wednesday night.
Warm-up segment thanks to Ream, accept nothing less than Australia's best. That is Ream, and we'll be taken over very soon by Sugar. Of course, Noddy in his high chair and also Spud Carroll. Before we do that, it's a week to forget for South Sydney, of course. Teams that come out and cause a bit of an upset in the week that their coach is being stood down. Well, many believe that it always happens, but it's a little bit of a myth, isn't it? An urban myth that a team comes out and wins the week after their coach is sacked, isn't it, Jim?
Three out of the last 10, I think, have come out and won.
Good stats. So
a little bit of a stat there. Hey, I saw on the rundown there, we didn't get to it, but Munster in the same vein as Lewis and Lockyer for Queensland, thoughts?
Absolutely. I think he'll be spoken about by the time he retires as an Origin legend that influence the outcome of the game quite regularly.
So I remember in the 2020 series, at the start of that series, he said, I wore the number 6. I want to be like Lockyer and Lewis. And I'm like, phew, Cameron, getting ahead of yourself. By the end of that series, I thought, on the money.
It's fair.
And he played 2 minutes of game 2.
I know, exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
So Cleary out, short turnaround, North Queensland conditions obviously affecting that injury that's come back. That's a sports science decision, I think, Jim.
Strange decision that they played him up there in Townsville with the long plane ride.
Like
we had Willow from Windsor who say, why are they doing that? And now you go, probably shouldn't have.
And interim coach Benny Hornby, he's made some changes. It's like the interim coach says, the head coach wants to pick these players, but now I'm in the seat, I get to make a few changes. Michael Cheekham goes from the second row to the centres. Isaiah Tass onto the wing. Of course, Tane Milne is out, which he should be, not long enough. and Sean Kepi comes into the side. Keon Kulamatangi moves into the back row as well. Moses Leota, he comes back into the side for Penrith. Jim and Sonny Taruva, well, he's back on the wing after being rested last week because of his negotiations.
What about that? Have you ever been so locked up in your negotiations that you need a rest? What was that? Was that Ivan being fed income on that, do you reckon?
I think it was. Yeah, I think it was a young player that's not used to this sort of activity. If it's an older player, Nappy Karoi, Sao, someone like that, play on.
Yeah, no, I don't mind that. The other thing about it, remember when Ryan Carr?
Yes.
As soon as he went, right, Lomax, you go back to the right, Moses Sewell, you go to the left, and he just went, oh, that looks better.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it filling in tonight.
Pleasure, boys.
Now it's Ream with over 80 years manufacturing right here in Australia, and of course, it's Australia's favourite, always has been. That is Ream. Thank you very much for your text messages. Didn't get to all of them. Thank you, David at Blacksmiths, for your kind words as well. You're going to be joined by the SEN League team after this. The call team, of course, is Joel Sugarcane, Brett Camorley, and the great Mark Spud Carroll with his great stories about the days when he's playing for the Manly Seagulls, the South Sydney Rabbitohs when he's in his headgear, of course, and the Penny Panthers before that when he had a mad mullet. You'll hear all that and more on SEN League. Thank you very much. Hope you've had a great weekend. Have a great, a better weekend.
New South Wales in so much trouble.
Nutrient Ag Solutions. Going further for Australian farmers. Find your local branch at nutrient.com.au. The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9. The 2024 drive car of the year. Find out more at kia.com.au. This is Sports Day. We'll be back in a moment.